in two parts. The mitzvah skerushin, the grounds for divorce, and then, of course, we spent a little bit of time, at least, on the question of isha, you know, gusha meish, the idea that there could be two components in gerushin, and, you know, how that expressed itself in terms of reach haget, the various shitas, whether that's the rice of Rabbanan, and especially this really intriguing idea that, you know, was first articulated explicitly, anyway, by the Levush in that tshuva, in the tshuvas of the Maram Lublin. It was a very celebrated tshuva and a very controversial case. But again, just the not only the shita itself, but the his reflections about what he thinks about the last sugya in the Masechta, and you know, there's like very strong convictions about certain other issues. Is very fascinating and really food for thought. And then, of course, the Rabbi Rucham Fischel Perlow's suggestion that this goes all the way back to the Gaonim. Again, you know, whether you find that to be compelling or not, either way, it's just very interesting, obviously. He did. Possibly distinguishing in certain ways. But, of course, just to keep in mind, you know, this the broader idea, which is not only the concept of get me Ava, as opposed to get me Sina, which also, as I think I mentioned, the Tziv, not so much in terms of Nafgamina, but in terms of the Parshanut and Psukim, also, you know, has that idea that, you know, the Psukim are talking about two different types of Gerushim, although he's not citing any Nafgamina. But the bigger idea of the relationship between, you know, Heter Isha Labala and Isra Kula Alma, which is an issue both in Kiddushin, Nisuin, and in Gerushin, especially that there might be two stages even in Gerushin, that of course is very crucial, and especially the idea that there, you know, that we might emphasize different aspects in Kiddushin than we do in Gerushin. And that of course could be simply because we're always more, one explanation would be because we're simply more machmir, so it seems maybe like we're, you know, accentuating, you know, one component, you know, that is different from the other component in one institution as opposed to the other. But maybe what's really, really going on is that you always have to be, you know, machmir. So if you're always going to have, if you're ever going to have a partial ishus, then you're only going to have a partial ishus, you know, in which there is, you know, both Isra Labal and Isra Kula Alma, just because it would be inconceivable, obviously, to have Heter Labal, you know, and Heter Kula Alma. That would just not, you know, definitionally, that could just never be. So that could be the reason. It also could be that, you know, that's not the cause. Maybe that would be true, but that would never justify, you know, the division. The very justification of the division, you know, in one configuration or the other, is maybe has to do with, again, you know, this dialectic that I keep speaking about of the Yatzah B'Haisa, you know, which is both a hekesh, you know, on the one hand, and also a contrast, you know, on the other. I mean, the hekesh is only used for the parallel, but. In other words, to what extent, you know, Kiddushin and Gerushin are parallel institutions, you know, and therefore, you know, in either direction we learn from one to the other. Technically, you know, Yatzah B'Haisa is Makish Yitzia, Mak Shabayel Yitzia, but we find also in the other direction. But at the same time, you know, since, you know, the goals are opposite, obviously, and the movement is in the opposite direction. So the idea that, you know, the components, the emphasis of the components, the dominance of the components is also going to express itself in an opposite way is very, very reasonable. So it isn't only necessarily because we're always, you know, going to be machmir, and therefore in the case of, you know, Kiddushin, you know, you're always going to have... you know, Isra of both, and the same thing in Isra, you know, in the you know, get me Ava or whatever other, or Reach Haget, you know, those kind of situations, but it also just may very well be that this is an example. So these are the issues that we've been discussing. These are all helpful to keep in mind going forward as we tackle them sector. We do want to start at the beginning, but before we do that, there's one other very important discussion that we need to have, and that's what we're going to start with today, and there's more to see, of course, on that as well. But we'll start with the marmokomos I gave out, and that is the issue of shtaros, and whether or not shtaros are daraisa and drabanan, different types of shtaros, and of course that is, connected to the very notion of what a get is, but also connected to the, like, most important debate in the world of shtaros, which again happens to be the locus classicus happens to be in the end of the Masechta, Sugyan Pei Vav, and that is the machlokus, Eidi Mesira Karsi, Eidi Chasima Karsi, which of course will, we're not going to start with that. That we'll get to. We're going to hold that out a little bit until Dav Gimel and Dalid, but hopefully we'll get to that pretty soon. But I do want to start today with the question of, the very legitimacy of shtaros and the relationship between, Edus Beksav and Edus Baal Peh itself. Okay, so with that in mind, let's begin with, I'm guessing we should probably, there are basically several Gemaras that are, very relevant. If you have to list them, what are the Gemaras that are relevant to this question of whether shtaros are a viable instrument, how they relate to Edus Baal Peh? Which Gemaras would you, if you had to assign, your Talmidim, what they should be looking at?
Pei
Vav is going to be relevant in terms of how shtaros works. Mesira Karsi, Hasima Karsi, what the relationship is to Ksav Yad, and we certainly, as I say, will do that, thoroughly, but we're going to hold that back on that for a moment. But even before you get to that, those are, I wouldn't say that they're just details, because that would imply that the argument is a technical one, and that's really the issue. And the issue is, whether or not the debate between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Meir and Mesira Karsi and Hasima Karsi is a debate about a couple of pratim, and it's mostly like a peripheral issue about which you could say, again, I don't want to get deeply ensconced in this right now, but one of the litmus tests for it is, are you going to say things like Midrabi Lazar Nishma L'Rabbi Meir, Midrabi Meir Nishma L'Rabbi Eliezer? In other words, can you just plug in Eide Chasima Karsi, Eide Mesira Karsi, wherever you have, like, for the word Bekasav or whatever? So that's going to be a very critical or that's the question. Is that a critical or a technical question? Surprise, surprise, we're more likely, to fall out on the side that it is going to be a pretty fundamental issue. I think the evidence is very compelling for that. But that it's, even if it is, that's about how shtaros actually work. Before we get to that, the very institution of shtar, is it a viable institution or a problematic one, right? How would you formulate that question, and where would you look for that? There's some things that are, in the Marmokomos that you probably have already seen, but what's the question, and what's a couple of sources that we should begin?
Before.
I'm basically giving you the power. I'm giving you like a shtar harsha.
For understanding shtar themselves? Or?
Yeah, what's the problem? I say that there might, before we get to Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Meir, which is the mechanics of shtaros, right, there's just a question whether shtar is a viable halakhic institution to begin. Now, obviously, when I say that, we all know that there's something called shtaros. We're talking about it. There's a Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Meir, so obviously there's a world of shtaros. So what is there, what's the existential, textual threat, if you will, or halakhic threat to the world of shtaros?
If I need Edus Nitzim, how does that work?
Excellent. Right? If there is a principle, not explicit in the Torah, but based on the drasha, al pi shnayim edim. So, right, Chazal say in a bunch of places, mi pihem, right, below mi pi, sub. So the PM belong the Piksavam, the Pashtos means that the Eidim have to show up in court. We have to hear their testimony, or at least they have to articulate their testimony in the presence of a Beis Din, right? And that's what Chazal seems to be saying. It must be mipihem velo mipiksava, but they can't, you know, do that, you know, in written form. The question is, does it mean that? Does it mean something narrower? What does it mean exactly? Right? In you know, is a deposition, you know, in secular law, you know, they take depositions, meaning they, you know, they interview, well, even for Bali Dinim too, but it's even for Adim, you know, you get deposed. You know, they'll interview you and your testimony is recorded and so on and so forth. Is that an acceptable, you know, way for Eidus to, you know, to be validated in halakha? What is the meaning of, the scope of, and what are the implications of Mipiyam, the lonely peaks up? Okay? And if you take it literally, and it really means that you need, you know, Eidus, you know, bepeh or alpeh, then doesn't that jeopardize the world, the very world of shtaros? Okay. This certainly, we'll discuss the applications of this, or you know, the initial range of it in just a second. But that this, you know, constitutes a problem, and one which threatens the very existence of shtaros, is clear, you know, from at least two extreme views, each of which we're going to analyze. Okay? Any ideas?
What?
In other words, ze sheyesh kanira stira bein mipim lo piksava mushtarot ze mitbatei b'shitot kitzoniot. Shall me.
Rabbeinu
Tam and the Rambam. So you have like these two, you know, giants, you know, Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam, you know, kind of get more stature than that. And we're going to discuss each of their shitot in just a second. But just to get it on the record, like what the problem and what the issue is, yeah, you seem to be hesitant.
Yeah, when we say Rabbeinu Tam, I think we saw also that Rabbeinu Tam is brought down in other places that he says the Kamal Pitzam is only in the Fashion.
Yeah, yeah, we'll discuss it.
Both versions of Rabbeinu Tam.
Yeah, yeah, correct. The more standard view, so let's talk about what do we mean by Rabbeinu Tam? When the Rav Zatzal used to speak about this problem, this is how he would typically like introduce it. He would introduce this problem by citing the opposing shitos of the Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam. So what's the... You're, when I said that we'll you know analyze each one, I won't say exhaustively, but you know we'll certainly you know give time to analyzing each one. So then we'll discuss you know whether or not you know they really do represent this extreme or not. But the pashtos. So what's the Rabbeinu Tam? The pashtos.
That it only applies to an elim, somebody
who
can't speak.
Yeah, the Rabbeinu Tam as quoted, not so much by the Mordechai in Ksuvas and the Mordechai and Yevamos, which we'll discuss, which distinguishes between Dinei Mamonos and Dinei Nefashot, some other chilukim that they suggest for Rabbeinu Tam. But the Rabbeinu Tam, as quoted, we're going to read the Tosis inside in just a couple of minutes. First, we're going to read the Gemaras, quoted in Tosis in Ksuvas, right, Daf Chaf, Amud Aleph, Tosis in Yevamos, right, Daf Amud Aleph, right, Tosis in Baba Basra, Daflam Tet on the day, right? So Rabbeinu Tam there is quoted as narrowing Mipiyam Velo Mipiksavam, right, to Elaim. Even then there are different formulations. For example, whether you quote Kalaroy Labila in Bila Makeves, or you don't quote that, we'll discuss that also. But the Pashtus, Rabbeinu Tam is narrowing the PM below the peaks of them. And, you know, we know, you know, that part of the, you know, agenda, Begabah, of Rabbeinu Tam is to oppose a very famous shita of Rashi. Akiva, which shita of Rashi? A very famous shita of Rashi and a very unusual phenomenon. Eitan? I would say, which where's the Rashi?
Ala Torah.
Yeah, so it's very rare for a Rashi ala Torah, right, to be weighing in on a halachic, you know, matter, a controversial matter, and it's even more rare, you know, for like, you know, that it to become the focal point of that issue. But obviously, since Rashi in his Parshanut, in his Perush ala Torah, typically doesn't, you know, Paskin, very, very rare, right? You know, Rashi provides, you know, other extraordinary, you know, benefits and services, you know, to Klal Yisrael in his Perush ala Torah, right? The mix of, you know, Pshat and Medrash, and I'm not going to, you know, get carried away and discuss that right now, but Rashi's classical Perush, you know, doesn't, you know, is all that it is. It became like, you know, a linchpin for Klal Yisrael in a very remarkable way, all without being primarily a Sefer Halakha. Right? Normally, you read Rashi, you know, ala Torah, he's certainly quoting a lot of Halakha, right? But he's rarely taking a stand on a controversial issue. But the Rashi and Shoftim, you have it there, Eitan?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you know that's all gratuitous. You don't need that in the pasuk. He's commenting on the pasuk, you know, al pishnayim eidim, right? And he's basically saying mipiyam v'lo mipiksavam, and that's, you know, mipiyam v'lo mipiksavam is, you know, is a gemara, which we're going to get to in a second. The gemara Gittin on ayin aleph on the base. All Rashi needed to say was mipiyam v'lo mipiksavam. Right, but Rashi weighs in, and that's very, very rare. Why is it important that it's rare? And of course, this Rashi was picked up, and you know, the grandson, you know, Rabbeinu Tam, basically, you know, rejects Rashi explicitly. Right, Rabbeinu Tam was basically trying to justify that you could be kosei vigeris, you know, bishtar, v'sholcho, lebesdin, and therefore suggests a narrower interpretation of mipiyam v'lo mipiksavam, very, very narrow, like almost the opposite extreme, right? Lemait, right? But we'll get back to the Mordechai one, you know, a little bit later on. So it's clear that, you know, both that this was historically a significant, well, put it this way, it's substantively a very important shita, even if there was no history. Obviously, whether Edim need to actually be present in court, or whether or not they can be Shaleach Higeres Lebesdin, you know, is a huge nafkamina. Meaning, you know, what do they say, the wheels of justice grind slowly? Did they say that? Sounds right. Like, you know, the word grind already is like, you know, it's like chalk on the blackboard. But, meaning, the idea that you can have an efficient court legal system, right, if every, you know, time you hear Eidos, the Eidim need to be present, which may in fact be the halacha, is, you know, imposes a lot of challenges. You know, obviously, if you could be Sholeach Higeres Lebesdin, you know, then you have expanded, you know, geometrically, the capacity to have effective edus, you know, in the court system. Right, physical presence as a you know, prerequisite, as a sine qua non for edus, is a very prohibitive requirement. Now, if that's what the halacha demands and requires, and that's what it requires. And Yikuv HaDin Ha'Tzar, you know, the Petira of Moshe Rabbeinu. So, You know, that's what it is, that's what it is. And remember, on the other side of it, that, you know, Eidus is granted enormous power, right, as we've said many times, right? You know, Trei Kameya, you know, it's, we believe Eidim as if, you know, it's MS. You know, there's no suffix with our Eidim, unless there's, you know, Hakasha or Hazama, you know, or something else, you know, or some sort of Din Meruma, you know, but so the idea that you may have to have the Eidim in court, either, you know, to be able to be, you know, Doresh V'choker better, or because, you know, them looking at you, there's no, you know, it's kind of a Ha'oza factor, or just, you know, to impose upon them that burden, you know, to make, you know, clear the seriousness of it. Whatever the reason would be, we'll discuss that a little bit. You know, maybe connected to the tremendous impact that Eidus has. You know, just how, what a powerful, you know, force, you know, Eidus Ksheira, you know, really is. But at the end of the day, it's still a prohibitive requirement to say that the only way that you can convey Eidus in a case is this way. Remember, there's also, it's not like it's, you know, just voluntary, you know, either. You know, the parsha of Shavuos Eidus, which I can recall fondly, we analyzed somewhat a couple of years ago. I don't know if anybody here from the Shavuos Eidus days? No? Nobody? Ah, Alex. Okay, there he goes. Right? I think we skirted around Sukkah at the time. We didn't like Sukkah, but... Right. Anyways. So Shavuos Eidus imposes Echi of Haggadah. He said the way the Rajab understands, meaning V'hu Eid, O Yada, O Ro, Yada... Right, you know, the idea of there being a chovas haggadah of the Bezdin for Edim, you know, in dine nefashos or iser, even without a tviya, the way the Rambam understands it, maybe only with a tviya in the from the baldavar in the case of the imaminus. But either way, the point is that, just to make it clear, it's not just a halacha on the books; it's a halacha on the books. But it's one which is practically very consequential, to say that Eidim are obligated and are only effective when they actually physically show up. If you can send a deposition through the bail or through a shliach, you know, that, as I say, expands the, you know, the efficiency of the system. So this is not a small issue. As it happens, there's also a lot of in the medieval period, you know, when people are traveling more, this is not our topic right now, but, you know, so all issues having to do with, we'll call it mobility, and the impact of mobility on the assumption of presence, you know, again, when you had, like, you know, everybody was in more agricultural settings and people weren't traveling as much, so the idea of requiring people to be physically present, whether it's, you know, Ein Mekabelin, Eidus Shelo Bifnei Baldin, or Mipiyam Velo Mipik Sabam, or, you know, something I wrote about, the issues of Gevias Chovos Shelo Bifanav, anything that required a physical presence was much more achievable, you know, when people weren't traveling as much and they weren't, you know, all over the place in terms of their, you know, economic, you know, and entrepreneurial, you know, activity. But once, you know, agriculture and more sedentary, you know, lifestyle, you know, was no longer assumed, and that is the case in the medieval period, although in to different degrees in different places, like in the Gaonic world, there was a, you know, tremendous amount of travel and so on. Less so in Ashkenaz, but it doesn't matter. The point is that you can imagine that both objectively, no matter what the circumstances, and especially when the pressures become greater because people are less, you know, assuredly, you know, where you think they are, you know, in one place and everything's happening locally, once that becomes the case, so these issues, you know, just become catapulted in terms of their, you know, significance. So it's not a coincidence, in my opinion, that, you know, all of a sudden, Rashi, you know, in his Perush al Torah, you know, where he, again, Rashi wrote on the Gemara, as we know, and he wrote Tshuvas. You know, he had plenty of other opportunities to weigh in, you know, halacha lemaisa on issues, and it's very, very rare for him to do that in his Perush al Torah. So that he does dafka on this issue, and then Rabbeinu Tam, his grandson, you know, takes a very extreme understanding, you know, and reverses this psak or justifies a reversal of psak. All of this, you know, is a further reflection of the stakes involved, both objectively and in terms of the period, you know, of time. So according to Rashi, Mipiyam Velom Biksavam means you cannot send Eidos Biksav, you can't write out your Eidos and send it to a Shriach. And Rabbeinu Tam, as quoted by the Balei Tosis, sharply disagreed and restricted Mipiyam Velom Biksavam, you know, in a very significant way. So that's the background of Rashi in Rabbeinu Tam. We'll see this inside in just a couple of And then in addition to that, right, as Akiva mentioned before, you have the other extreme, meaning the opposite extreme of Rabbeinu Tam, and that is the Shitas HaRambam. So what is the Rambam that you're referring to? The Rambam Hilchos Eidos, Perek Gimel. Let's get that on the record for a moment. What does the Rambam say, basically? If you have to sum it up, what does it sound like he says? It sounds like Shtar Asar Drabban, correct? You have the thing up there? Go ahead.
In Torah, She'in Mekabin, Eidos Lomdin, Mavados Lomdin, Fashos, El Mepi, Bez Eidim, Shnamar, Alpi, Shnaim, Eidim, Mepiam, Mekabomi, Pi, Ksav.
So like Rashi, right, the Rambam, you know, promulgates or promotes, meaning he, you know, emphasizes, you know, the extraordinary requirement of Mepiam, Velomi Piksav, right? Rashi does to negate Sholeach Adam Igeres Lebesdin, and the Rambam in a way goes even further. Because what's he saying? The only time that Eidos would be effective, right, is if it's Eidos Al Peh. And then he continues to explain. Ah, so the Rambam seems to say, of course, again, he uses the phrase midivrei sofrim, which is always a loaded phrase for the Rambam, but he does seem to suggest, this is the kiddush of the Rambam that Rashi didn't relate to, although implicitly all the Balei Tosis, you know, and Balamor and others, you know, and then of course the laters, all did as well. And that is, you know, forget about Sholeach Adam Migeres, you know, Lebesdin. What about the institution of Shtaros itself? So the Chiddush of the Rambam is that Mipiyam Velom Piksavam is such a dominant idea that it actually negates Shtaros. And if you were to take only this Rambam, if you take the Rambam Kipshuto, and you're only to look at this Rambam, you certainly would walk away thinking that the Rambam is saying that all Shtaros are at least Medivrei Sofer, right? And he says Shalotin Aldelas Bifnei Lavin, so that doesn't even sound like a Medivrei Sofer, you know, that is maybe a Doraisa, just that it's, you know, a Ribui, you know, from, you know, it's just a kind of a, you know, an epistemological thing, like, you know, how do you know it? It's from a Yud Gimel, you know, Mido Shator Nidreshes Behem, not Mefurish Bakra, because he uses the expression Shalotin Adelos Pifnei Lana. On the other hand, he does still use the expression Medivrei Sofrim, so that's strange too. There's a lot going on in the Rambam. We'll analyze it more fully. But certainly, the simple reading of the Rambam is that the entire institution of Shtaros is only Drabanan, because Mipiyam Velom Mipiksavam doesn't allow room for Shtaros Midorais. The problem with that, of course, is, you know, then it's just inconceivable objectively. And, you know, who calls the Rambam out on that? You see? Anybody?
Ramban.
Sefer Mitzvos, right, quotes this Rambam and says, you know, of course that's totally, you know, inconceivable. Because a get is only Bederach Shtar. And that is certainly Doraisa. That's Mefurash Bakra, and it's Doraisa. It's Matir Ishalashok. You know, there might be Afge'inus out there, you know, but, you know, how expansive that is questionable. I should add that for the Rambam, it doesn't really, the Rambam never has Afge'inu anyway, but that's a different story. We'll hopefully get to that. But, you know, you can't say that the, you know, the Parsha in Kitetze, you know, is somehow Midibrei Sofrim, Mefurish Bakra. So the get has to be, you know, Doraisa, but not only get. By extension, Kiddush Eshtar is Doraisa from the Rambam himself. Actually, the Rambam says that Keseth is Midibrei Sofrim, correct? In, that was very controversial. That was controversial enough, you know, in the beginning of Hilchos Ishus. And, you know, the question, changed the Girsa, he didn't change the Girsa, both in Perek Aleph and Perek Gimel, Hilchos Ishus. But in the end of the day, let's say the Rambam holds Keseth is Midibrei Sofrim, but we don't really know, likely means Doraisa, but, you know, Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephron, again, going to the source of the Limud. But when it comes to Shtar, actually, you know, the Rambam does not characterize it as Midibrei Sofrim. Of course, when he in Hilchos Geirushin, he's talking about, you know, the Doraisa 10 requirements, you know, of a get. Aside from the fact that there's no escaping, you know, that, you know, since there's only one way to be Megaresh, and that certainly is Doraisa, and it's certainly Bakra. So obviously a get is Doraisa. Obviously a shtar kiddushin is Doraisa. By the way, the Rambam was criticized for not formulating shtar kiddushin as midibrei sofrim. Yitzhak, do you know who criticized them? It's like, who would criticize the Rambam? So there's a famous exchange, the Chachmei Leniel. And one of the in the Chumash Rambam, the Chachmei Leniel wrote to the Rambam, and they said, "Listen, if you think Kesef is midibrei sofrim, kiddushe Kesef, because kicha kicha mistei Ephron, so then you know why consistently don't you think that shtar is midibrei sofrim? It's based on the hekesh, you know, the yatz of the heis." So that was, you know, he was called out on that. Of course, the Rambam was very nonplussed. You know, Kedarko. The Rambam wrote back. It's a very fascinating tshuva. The Rambam writes back, and he basically says, you know, you're right, you know, if there weren't other evidence, you know, I might have. But if you look very carefully at the Gemara in the Shaka Vitaria, it's such a very interesting answer, of the Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Tes, right, where the Gemara thought that, you know, the Gemara had a Hava, meaning that the only effective standalone derech of kiddushin might be shtar. Because the Gemara had a Hava, meaning mekikach ish isha uva'ala, that maybe it means, you know, keset and bia, you need both. You need them together. So the Gemara says there, well, you know, can't be, because there's something called a nara hamurasa. So, you know, if the... if Arison always requires, Inarum Rasa, who is a Basula, how could that be if you only require Kesef Ubiya? So the Gemara has a Havamina before it rejects the need for Kesef and Bia together. It's a Gemara Daftes in Kiddushin. So the Gemara says, oh, maybe that's that case is a case of Shtar. So it's fascinating. The Rambam says, oh, you see from that Gemara that, you know, the Gemara was considering the possibility that Kiddushei Shtar would be the only standalone derech of Kiddushin. So since that's true, obviously it can't be Midibrei Sofrim. So the Ramban, this is another exchange between the Ramban and the Rambam, the Ramban in Sefer Mitzvos quotes this tshuva of the Rambam, and he says, you know, that's more than tamua. I mean, we're talking about havamina of the Gemara, which is rejected. So the Gemara rejected it. The Gemara says, you know, kesef is standalone, you know, bia is standalone, shtar is standalone. Just because the Gemara, when it was considering this havamina, you know, thought that shtar would be the only standalone, somehow that proves that lahalacha, when we rejected that shakavataria, that, you know, somehow shtar, like, what's the Rambam even talking about? And the Ramban, you know, throws up his hands in, you know, resigned, you know, bewilderment or something like that. But I think what the Rambam means, again, that's just agav, this is not really our topic. I'm just mentioning this because of the problem of, you know, get and kiddushei shtar, etc. You know, I think it's a great example, number one, where the Rambam, you know, people sometimes say, oh, the Rambam didn't care about the shakavatara, which I think is ridiculous. I think he had, as I've said many times, like a global understanding of the halacha and of shas, you know, which also included the Yerushalmi, and included his, you know, midrash halacha, you know, included his, you know, own, you know, logical convictions about what the, you know, integrated halacha is telling you about things and so on. But shaklavatarias are part of that. They're not, you know, they don't win in a narrow way all the time, but they're part of that mix. So I think this happens to be a great example of that. So the Rambam is basically saying the very fact that the Gemara could consider, like, kiddushei shtar as the only standalone, it's true that's nidche l'halacha, but it's not nidche l'halacha because shtar doesn't have that special stature. It's nidche l'halacha because kesef is also a standalone and bia is also a standalone, you know, notwithstanding their limitations. What he's really trying to say was, like, what was the Gemara thinking? Was the Gemara thinking, I'm reconstructing it, I'm speculating, but this is what I think the Rambam was thinking. The Gemara was just trying to, you know, they found a shaka, they found a hefetimtzi for, you know, for Murasa, who's a basula, and they found it in shtar, so that's it. That's what the Gemara was saying. You know? No, they were saying more than that. What they were saying was, why would it be, right, that kesef would, you know, would not be standalone, and that bia would not be standalone. But shtar, it's not just a hefetimtzi. Makes sense that shtar is a standalone. The answer is because kesef, you know, it's all these things. Their strengths are their strengths are also their weaknesses. In other words, kesef, you know, is too commercial. You know, it's an import from Kosher Mishpat. So you might think it can't really accomplish, you know, even the Arison of Ishus just with kesef. You know, you need more. And, you know, Kiddushei Bia, which is enforced by Krah, of course, but maybe it's too much. You know, Kesef is too little, and Bia is too much and too little, meaning it's great for phase two, you know, but isn't it, you know, jumping the gun if you really want an Arison, which is an Oser, Kodim, Lenesuin? But Shtar is just perfect, because it's a transaction, you know, and it's not about the physical intimacy of the marriage, but it's also not an import from Kosher Mishpat. It's an internal Evan Ezra halakha. You know, it's Makkah Shabbai Leitziah. Again, he doesn't say all this at all. He just says, quotes, he says, I don't know, well, you know, he just quotes the Gemara, and then the Ramban, you know, raises the question, says, that's a Habamina, right? So, but this is what I think was going on in his mind. He was saying, oh, there's something unique about Shtar. You know, there's something unique about each of these three drachim. It goes back to what I, you know, referred to, you know, again, when we started, like each of the darkei akidushin really accentuates a different aspect, you know, of ishus, you know, in sharp contrast to there being only, and I think principally being like only one derech of gerushin. We're talking about, you know, the balaturim and all that stuff. So, you know, sefer krisis. So only bederech sefer krisis. So I think that what the Rambam was trying to say was, each of these is unique, each of these is singular, and when the Gemara thought, you know, that maybe Kesef is dependent and Bia is dependent, but that Shtar is independent, right? The Maskana is not that Shtar doesn't have, you know, a certain unique status. It's just that, you know, the others, you know, are also independent for their own reasons. You know, so Hesep ends up being, you know, the most ubiquitous, but also the most flawed in a certain way, you know, because of where it comes from, you know, and the impression that it could give, which is wrong, but still could give that impression, and that is, oh, this is like a, you know, a commercial transaction. This is, you know. And Bia, of course, is Midaraisa, and it's Mefurish Bakra, there's nothing to do about that, you know, but in the end of the day, you know, Rav Man Yed Amanda Mekadosh Bia, and it's, you know, and so on and so forth. So what he's trying to say is, I don't want to characterize Shtar as Medivrei Sofrim in the same way of Kesef, because the Hava Midah Gemara, which I don't think is Nidcha fundamentally, proves that, you know, there's something very singular and unique about it and remains that way. Anyway, what does that have to do with us here? You know, Shtar Gerushin is Mefurish Bakra, and that's the only Derech of Gerushin. Clearly that's the right. So the point I was trying to make, or I guess more briefly, I could have made it, is that Shtar Kiddushin is not even Medivrei Sofrim for the Rambam. And that's what he was telling the Chachmei Loniel was, you're right, technically, meaning it's derived from a drasha. By the way, I'll just say Agav also, you know, that this proves that the Rambam's, this supports at least the view, which is my view, and others, I'm sure, that, you know, the term Divrei Sofrim in the Rambam, you know, is a bit of a sliding scale term. It's like, you know, it's meant to be a relative term. My view is that when the Rambam says Divrei Sofrim and everybody worked so hard to figure out, is it Doraisa, is it Darabanan, and the evidence, you know, is clearly mixed. You know, some of them are clearly Doraisa, and some of them are, I think, Kiddushin Kesef included, and some of them are clearly Darabanan. So, like, you know, what's the answer? So the answer is, in my opinion, that this is always the Rambam's way of signifying a hierarchy. Those who've been in the shul in the past have heard me say this for quite a few times. That there's like a hierarchy, and that the methodology of how we know it for the Rambam is critical to that hierarchy. In other words, the Rambam always thinks that, you know, the source, the context, the source, the language, you know, the Rambam really believes, you know, that Torah Shebitzav, like, you know, is the best parshanut for Torah Shebitzav. That, you know, that how and where and how we derive things is conceptually, you know, consequential. So for the Rambam, Divrei Sofrim, you know, sometimes means like a high-level drabanan, like a kiyum, practically a kiyum daraisa, or drabanan that kind of extends the daraisa, kein daraisa, like we were talking about when we talked about Reach HaGet, you know, and the language of the Rambam in Reach HaGet, even though he says clearly, there he uses language, I believe, in the Rambam. We were talking about that. And many, 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 many other examples. And then there are times where clearly things are daraisa, but what he's trying to say is it's significant that, unlike, let's say, Kiddushei Bia, that Kiddushei Kesef is derived, you know, from, you know, Chosha Meshpat. And then what he's saying about Shtar to the Chachmei Loniel is, yeah, it technically is derived from, you know, a drasha too, but I'm not calling it Divrei Sofrim because I want to highlight that it's not the same level as Kesef. Meaning, based on the Havamina of the Gemara, I mean, that the Hekesh, not the all Hekeshes, but here, the fact that the Torah chose to, you know, convey Kesef one way, Shtar, in a more, like, internal and a little more explicit way, and then Kiddushei Bia before Mefurish Bakra, that all that is significant, you know, in the hierarchy itself. But either way, the upshot is, it's clear that, you know, Kiddushei Shtar for the Rambam is not even Divrei Sofrim, it's a Daraisa Gomor. Even though the Rambam, or notwithstanding the language of the Rambam, in Hilchos Eidus, that seems to say that Mipiyam V'lo Mipiksavam left zero room for Shtaros. And then, of course, it's, you know, it's also the case that Shtar Shechor, you know, of an Eved, you know, seems to be clearly Doraisa. So there are at least three shtaros that the Rambam cannot, you know, include, you know, in his formulation in Hilchos Eidus, and that, of course, is what the Ramban in Sefer Mitzvos, you know, pointed out very powerfully. And ad kedei kach, that, like, you know, it's not conceivable, you know, that the Rambam, you know, means what he says completely, meaning that that's all there is to say. And that triggered, of course, a massive, you know, parshanut in the Rambam. And if you just look, we'll discuss it. But, you know, if you look in the Noseh Kalim, the Noseh Kalim in Sefer Mitzvos, the Noseh Kalim, you know, in Perek Gimel Hilchos Eidos, and then later in Hilchos Eidos, Perek Tes, Halacha Yud Aleph, also important Rambam to look at. You know, and, you know, what does the Rambam mean? Okay, now we'll get back to that a little later on. Reb Chaim, in the Chibor, in Perek Gimel Hilchos Eidos, has a very famous piece about this, where he distinguishes between, no secrets here, so, between the Shtari Kinyan and Shtari Raya. So we'll discuss, you know, what that means and why it should be so. The Nesivos also, in a very famous piece, distinguishes for the Rambam between Shtari Kinyan and Shtari Raya, meaning, Shtari Kinyan meaning where the Shtar effects the change, the Shtar causes, you know, the change in status, as opposed to Shtari Raya, right, where, you know, some other Kinyan, you know, creates the, you know, the new reality, and the Shtar is just, you know, Kishmo Kenu, the Shtar is just, you know, a Raya, you know, a Raya that is effective in Bezdin, right, that, you know, that a Halvah took place, that a, you know, that a Mechira took place, but the Kinyan, you know, is not the Derech HaShtar, the Shtar is just a Raya, and that. So both the Chaim and the Nesivos, we'll discuss the differences, almost in opposite, characteristically opposite ways, come to the same conclusion, but with a very opposite explanation. So as a very, you know, kind of highlights really Reb Chaim's, you know, revolution in a way. That what the Rambam meant in Hilchos Eidos was Shtarei Raya. That Shtarei Raya are all the Rabbanon. That's also an enormous chiddush to say Shtarei, meaning if you, you know, if you sold a piece of karka and you did it b'derech, you know, kesef, or chazaka, right? And you also produced the Shtar at that time. So, you know, the effectiveness of that Shtar as a Raya in Bezdin, as Eidos in Bezdin, that this took place, according to the Rambam, that's only Drabanan. So, while it can't, you know, it's inconceivable that the Rambam was saying all Shtaros, including Shtari Kinyan, are Drabanan, the fact that he would only mean, quote-unquote, or that he would only, quote-unquote, include Shtari Raya in this conclusion is still very radical. I mean, clearly the Rambam had a very expansive view of Mipiyim below Mipiksam. So we'll need to explain why there should be a difference between Shtar Kinyan and Shtar Raya in the same, not in the same way, but just as, we'll say, you know, as Akiva pointed out before, we'll have to discuss the Mordechai version of Rabbeinu Tam to see, like, is it possible that we distinguish between Eidos Nefashos, right, and Eidos Mamas. So between these two very seemingly radical, not seemingly, between these two radically opposite views, right, Rabbeinu Tam, who's narrowing Mipiksavim in a very drastic way, you know, to allow not only shtaros, but even depositions, shaleach adam migeres lebestin, against, you know, against the grandfather, Rashi, and the Rambam, who has expanded Mipiyim lo Mipiksavim, right, to negate at least Shtari Raya. But again, you know, there's significance to the fact, I should add, that the Rambam doesn't spell out the difference between Shtari Kinyan and Shtari Raya. Meaning, it's clear, it's implicit, that he has to accept some sort of a distinction. How you'll explain that distinction, we still have to discuss, or Chaim, the Nesivos, etc. But the fact that, you know, this is, you know, implicit and not explicit, in my opinion, is also significant. Meaning, it's not like if you had to evaluate the Rambam and say, "Oh, we you know, vadai, you know, deep, we have a deep conviction, or even more than that, it's certain that the Rambam's distinguishing between Shtari Kinyan, you know, and Shtari Rai. Right? And the question now is, like, what's the exception and what's the, you know, what's the rule? Right? So the fact that the Rambam doesn't really bother to spell it all out, you know, and that he kind of, you know, all shtaros are kind of, you know, presented b'chad amachta as, like, you know, all being, you know, negated by mitir lumpik savam is significant. I mean, obviously, there, you know, for the Rambam, it makes much more sense that that fundamentally, you know, even a shtar is negated, and there's something, you know, just singular about Shtari Kin, as opposed to thinking, you know, fundamentally, you know, Shtari Kin, Shtaris are good, but Shtari Raya somehow are defective in some way. Okay, we'll get back to that. But either way, these are the two extremes. If you don't, you know, want to go for the two extremes, and neither of them are particularly, you know, it's hard to say that, because one is adopted by Rabbeinu Tam, and the other by the Rambam, so... What are you going to say? But, you know, it's still objectively true that each one has to contend, you know, with, you know, opposing evidence, number one, and that each view is, I wouldn't say unsatisfying, but each view remains, it's not like, oh, you're exposed to the Rambam's view, and then you say, oh, you know, that, you know, fits like a glove. Or you see a Rabbeinu Tam and say, that's the perfect shot. You know, from the Kiyam Balon Piksavam. Of course, you know, it's limited, you know, to an Eli. Obviously, you know, the Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam each held a very deep conviction which justified their conclusions. But in the end of the day, you know, finding or navigating, you know, a different kind of solution, you know, seems more compelling. Yeah. So the majority of Rishonim don't hold like the Rambam. And the majority of the Rishonim don't hold like Rabbeinu Tam. The majority of the Rishonim think that, you know, whatever, they have different views, maybe on Kosei Vada Migeres Mishtar, that still remains. We'll chart all of this. Today I'm just speaking in generalities. In a minute we're going to at least read the three sugyas. But the majority of the Rishonim are looking for some sort of coexistence between Shtar as an institution and Mipiyam Balom Piksava. Now, they're assuming that there's a fundamental difference between a shtar and Eidos Piksava. And the question is, what factor defines that difference, determines that some dictates that something is called a shtar, quote-unquote, as opposed to Eidos Piksava. Okay? So this is what we really need to examine. Before we do that, So let's look at the three Gemaras, so just because, again, we've talked about this a little bit in abstract, and we jumped already to Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, Rambam, a little bit Ramban, Balei Tosas. You know, we've jumped to all or alluded to, you know, some of those issues. But of course, you know, this has to be, in terms of, you know, Torah Shebichtav, so you have the Parsha of Gittin and Makish Havaya Litzia, and so on. And of course, you also have Al Pi Shnai Meidim and the Drasha Mipiyam Vlom Piksavam. In terms of the Shas, in terms of the Gemara, right, you have several primary Gemaras. Okay, so let's begin with Mark. You want to Ayin Aleph Amid Aleph? I guess we'll begin with Gittin, but we should be looking at, you know, Gittin, of course, Ayin Aleph Omid Aleph, Yivamos Lamed Aleph Omid Beis, Suvas Chaf Omid Aleph, and you know, a little bit also, I guess, Bava Basra, you know, Lamed Tes Omid Beis, Mem Omid Aleph. We actually did discuss that last year, for those who were here last year, you know, when we talked about Sudar and other things. So those are like primary Gemaras. There are other Gemaras, but those are the primary Gemaras that seem to be discussing the status of Mipiyam Vlom Piksavam and the what the din of Eidos Biksav is. Yeah, Mark, go ahead. So what's the context here? You have a Mishnah.
Right. So it's just talking about
the beginning of the parak, right?
Right. If somebody's an Elayim, or if he's somehow incapacitated, it's not clear how, you're able to...
Somebody who's an Elayim, and the question is with regard to what?
How can you extract authorization to write again?
Yeah. So, and so again, this is about Eidos?
The Mishnah is not about Eidos, per se.
Oh, that's important to know, right? And then the Gemara is going to make the distinction clearer. Then, so what would you say the Mishnah is about?
It's
about Rishos. Tzivuy Abba, we'll call it.
Right,
you know, you can't write a get without the Tzivuy Abba, right? Whether that is the same thing as saying Lishma, or those are, you know, two different points, not for now. But there's something called Tzivuy Abba, right? And the question is whether or not an individual who is, impaired in some way, can he be metzave the writing of again, right? So the what does the Mishnah say? The third line of the Mishnah, like right at the beginning of Mishnah. So this is the Mishnah on Samach Zayin of the days.
That's a Mishnatik. So this guy who got sick, Amr Lo.
Well, the Mishnatik means, and he doesn't have the ability to speak. He got silenced, right? Right, he got sick. In other words, but you're right. I mean, what you're trying to say is when he married the woman, he was healthy.
That's important. There was Kedushin Daraisa here.
Yeah, there was Kedushin Daraisa, and he was capable of speech. And then Nishtatek, something happened to him, and he lost that ability, right? So they, now whatever it is, because of this or because of other things, you know, yeah, the gambling problem, whatever it is. I just made that up, but you know, whatever it is, the marriage went sour. So now the question is whether or not there can be a gerushin, right? So the umbrulo,
nichto get
liishteich, right? Or liishtechav.
So here can rosha, he nodded.
Yeah.
So both can rosha, rosha, yeah. Not a lot, but
lain hain, for elu yichtivu. That's a really interesting halakha, very reasonable, where you have to test out whether or not, his sign language, which in this case is harchana, is it a nervous twitch, or is he, really conveying, what he believes? So the Mishnah says you check it out three times. That establishes the credibility of the, gesture or whatever it is that he's trying to convey. But obviously you don't need physical dibur. That's what the Mishnah is telling us. You don't need physical dibur for Tzivuy Abba, and Gimel, Pa'amim is a way to establish, right, the credibility of what he's thinking. He can convey his will without Dibor through Harkana Sarosh. Correct? Okay, good. That's the background. So what does the Gemara say here?
Amar of Kana, Amarav, Eirish, Shiachol Adater, Vidachaksav, Kos Nividos Ngel Ishtar.
Oh, so what's that?
So
you have a cheresh. The cheresh is somebody who has a problem, in terms of hearing.
Usually in Chas it means in Odav and Shemaya. Here it's going to mean...
Oh, exactly.
Yes, you seemingly have some...
It's not really so clear in the initial, when the Gemara originally brings it up, right, which kind of cheresh. We know two types of chereshim, right? One is just a minimal cheresh, meaning he has a hearing problem. And the other one is Eino Shomea of Eino Medaber. When you have Eino Shomea of Eino Medaber, so there's also another issue... Namely,
das.
Meaning, we want to know: does he just have two impairments, which is it's an obstacle for him to overcome, or is this also that he's incompetent? Meaning, he's intellectually, impaired, and obviously that is ma'akev. You need das lagarish, and if he has both of these impairments, if it isn't just a technicality. Right, then that would impede any kind of gerushin d'oraisa. So the Gemara. So what Rav Kana, the name of Rav, tells us gerush yachol daber mitokaksav. If he can write out instructions, right, then that seems to be fine. Okay. Rav Yosef.
Rav Yosef,
That's the Mishnah. The Mishnah says if he can communicate, right? Is there a difference between, you know, communication through gesture or communication through writing? Right? That's the question. The Gemara here thinks not. The Gemara here is also assuming that the Cheresh of the, I'm sorry, that the, that the Elaim, the Nishtatek of the Mishnah, and the Cheresh of the Brisa, right, are comparable. And therefore, it's Tanina. Says the Gemara. Oh, so maybe there's a difference between the two. Zeh v'zeh.
They both have enough das, but Rav is telling me something specifically about das of a cheresh, and the Mishnah is telling me something about das of an elaim.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, keep
going. Go ahead, yeah.
Right.
We might have
Dabra Ben Shemeh. We know that it's not flipped.
Okay. Yeah. Okay,
right?
Good, fine.
Right.
Okay, so far, basically what we're saying, okay, so we're being marbed that in both of these cases you can have tziviyabal, despite the impairment, two different kind of impairments, nonetheless. Okay. I'm Rab Zeira.
Rab Zeira, ikashali, ha-kashali. Bitanya, ilo yagid, tazak ba, shuas, eidus,
this says shuas, eidus, correct.
Right. So he's not high
under Shuas, because didn't Rav also teach us two things? Number one, that an impaired person, an impaired Baal, can be Megarish, that there can be Tzivui Baal even though he's impaired in this way. But also, the Mishnah teaches us that you can have, you can communicate through Hirchin Rosho, and Rav teaches us that you can communicate Mitoch Haksav. So now the question, I mean, it's obvious even before we, you know, reach the Gemara, and that is, like, what is the significance of communicating, you know, Mitoch Haksav? Is that like Hirchin Rosho, or is that, you know, more? Are there different levels? Right? Is, to what extent is like Ksiva Dibor? Like he's Medaber Mitoch Haksav? Or he's, you know, Mabia Dato, you know, but not necessarily, you know, that it's considered, you know, dibor, right? Amar le Abaye.
Amar le Abaye, Eidos Kamar, Shani Eidos, Rachman Amar, Ni Piyam, Ni Piyik
Sabah. Oh, so the Gemara goes actually initially in a different way. The Gemara basically seems to be saying that what? That Inachanami, Medaber, at least the Pashas of the Gemara, Medaber, Mitoch Haksav would be considered not only Das, but it might even be considered to be Dibor,
right?
Right? However, when it comes to, you can't compare Tzivui Abaal Lagarish, which is about, you know, either Das or maybe even Dibor, you know, or certainly Dibor would also work, you can't compare that to the formal requirements of Al Pishnayim Edim, Bipiyam Velo Mipiksav. So here's where the Gemara introduces this idea. There's actually two Gemaras that are different from each other. The other Gemara is the Gemara Nibamos, which we'll hopefully see in another couple of minutes. But here's where the Gemara introduces the Pim Velom Piksava. I'm in a case, it is a case of an Elaim. Okay? The, as we'll see, I mean, we already know, right? For a Ben Tam, oh, this Gemara is talking about Elaim. But of course, that, that, you know, so when you say it is talking about an Elaim, right? But the Pashtos, it's not only talking about an Elaim. Right, I mean, Elaim is an example of where there's no, you know, art, you know, actual Eidos Alpeh, correct? Okay, that's what we have to figure out. Or no, it really is just a din, you know, in Elaim. Then the Gemara has a little more, just read a little more. Meisvei.
That
sounds like an Elaim could be made. Right? Okay. So that, of course, is something to think about anyway. We're, you know, probably going to hit this again for sure. And, you know, we've already mentioned, you know, in our previous travels, you know, before Yantif, that, you know, there are different levels of Eidos, right? The first level is Eidos Nefashos, there's Eidos Mominus, even in Rabbeinu Tam, right? That's something that we're going to have to talk about. But at least those are both under the rubric of Eidos. There's something else called Nemanus. Yeah, we'll talk about Erechad and Bisurim, you know, in the beginning of the Masechta in a little while, right? And there's something in between Eidos and Erechad and Bisurim, and that is Eidos Isha, right? Eidos Egla Rufa, Eidos Misa Sabal, Eidos Egla Rufa, and Eidos of Sota. Right, in all these cases, they're kind of, you know, in between. So the question is, are they all the same, these three? Or are they three or two or one or whatever it is? But Eidos Misa Sabal, which is Eidos Isha da Kilu Barabanan, is one of the Gemaras that seems to say that, you know, that we only believe Eidos Isha, you know, or some of the Kulas in Eidos Isha are only like Eidos Pied or you know, you know, Krovim or whatever it is, that's only a din draban. Okay, go ahead. Then the Gemara says a Ketani Yerusha. Okay, right. Well, actually, we'll leave it for there. Okay. The Bali Tosis already here. Tosis here doesn't jump in on the bigger issue, right? For that, they send you to Ksuvos. Mipim Lom Piksavim Perksheni Diksuvos Harach Biba, which is certainly true, right? Pretty large Tosis, right? So that we'll get back to, obviously. But there are some, like, interesting little issues in the Bali Tosis here that discuss at least, you know, another potential, like, avenue to understand the Shaka Vitaria, namely, Shai, what are they discussing?
I haven't seen Tosis yet.
Didn't see yet? Mark? Yemen? Yehuda? Everybody saw these things? It's like, you know, Agav, just a little bit. Anybody?
The Mikurish, it told us to look at the Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Meir stuff first, so I think a lot of people got tripped.
What?
The Mikurish, it had Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Meir Mikurish first.
Oh, yeah.
So I think a lot of people got bogged down in that sugya first.
Oh, I don't think I said it that way. Okay, I apologize for that. Okay. So, yeah, all right, so we'll do this one first. I gave you, like, Peibab first?
Yeah. I don't know what Rebbe gave, but that's what we had on our show.
Yeah? You don't know? Oh, okay, that's my mistake.
Peibab is mentioned first.
What?
Peibab is mentioned first.
Oh, but just to look at it quickly, though.
Yeah, just the Mishnah of Peibab, and the Gemara and Gimel and Dalet, and then Ayin Aleph.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm just looking, it's my mistake. Okay. Anyways, the Bali Tosis here, we're going to stop in a second. Anyway. We'll look at it maybe Sunday, just very briefly, just discuss the question, like, you know, is there, like, how seriously do we take, you know, medaber mitoch ha'ksav, you know, as a dibur, which, of course, is a big issue in the halacha more broadly. Like, whenever you need dibur, you know, is ksiva kedibur? Like, is ksiva kedibur in Eidos? Is Ksiva Kedibur in Sfiras HaOmer? Is Ksiva Kedibur, you know, in... well, it's not in Birchas Kohanim, that's for sure. There you need Kol Ram. But is Ksiva Kedibur, you know, in... if you need Dibur for Birchas HaTorah, for example, it's a big debate among the poskim, right? You know, whether or not, you know, Hirhur, you know... also recall Gisa Bayom Balaila, or you need, like, you know, an actual dibor for Birchas HaTorah. Is Ksiva considered? Like, these are issues that the Achronim, like Shabbos Aryeh, and then, you know, Milchas Chinuch, and, you know, they, you know, this is kind of their, you know, bread and butter, you know, issues for them. Is Ksiva considered, you know, dibor mitoch haksav, or is it just an expression of Ritzono, of Dato? Because it can be accurate, it can convey my will, my Das, but is it Dibur? So if you look at Tosis, I'm not going to go so much into this, but my Tosis is kind of It's a Tema Lari, right? The Mashma, the Parach, the Rav Kahana, B'dekamer Ha'ava, Yachal Adaber B'toch HaKsav. Tosis points out, it sounds like, you know, the language of a Yachal Adaber B'toch HaKsav was like part of the question here, not just the, you know, the fact. V'amai lo Parach HaMasnisim, Kara Yachal HaGir Oidei HaRchana. Right, why does it seem like the Gemara about the P.M. Veloma peaks up? The Gemara says, oh, how can you be medaber mitoch haksav? How can you say medaber mitoch haksav? If that were the case, then, you know, then the Elaim should be able to be made. That's what the Gemara is asking. So Tosis is saying, and why are you asking only from poor, you know, Rav Kahana? Why are you picking on Rav Kahana or Marav? Right? Why don't you ask on the Mishnah? Why don't you say, how could the Mishnah say that Harchonas Rosho after Gimel Pa'amim is considered Tzivui Abal? If that's the case, then, you know, then why wouldn't it work for Eidos? That's Tosis' question. Right? Tosis says, Omari de Masisa lo kasha, de Pshitale de Gabe Get in Tzorech Hagada Bepeh. Tosis says, no, the Gemara, the whole thing, it's like there are two interesting issues here. Let's say, what the Gemara had a havamina to equate tzivui habal and edus. Right, so what is that exactly? So Tosa is saying now, no, the Gemara knew that tzivui habal doesn't need dibur or amira. Tzivui habal needs, you know, habas with an ayin, you know, dato or ritzono. That's all it means. But that's what the Gemara is saying. That's what Tosa is saying. Lokasha the pshitale de gabiget ain't tzorach hagada bepeh. Raksha Misratza, Kemosha Tzorech, Gabe Eidus Dibor. Avalor of Kahana, the Koshiv Yochel Adaber, Mitoch Haksav, right? Afila Becheresh, Imkein Dibor Ma'al Yehu, Vyesh Lakosh Vagada. Especially if he's saying, oh, even if you have, this is like part of the debate, like, let's say you have a Cheresh, Shein Medaber, Ve'eno Shomea, both. So again, here, the chashash is, or the default is, that maybe there's something really, you know, intellectually, you know, problematic, you know. So maybe to neutralize that, you need, like, you know, not just, you know, haba'as dato, but you need the capacity of actual dibor. Ah. So if you need dibor, and dibor, you know, ksiva is considered dibor biksav. So then what we're really saying is, we know, Tosa is saying, we always knew, that Tzivui Habal doesn't require Dibur and Amira in the same way that Eidos does. We all knew that. But we thought that what Rav Kahana Marav was saying was, even if you have, you know, a more challenged, more impaired individual, right, if he can do Dibur, you know, then that's okay. What do you mean, do dibur? Meaning, mitoch haksav is considered dibur. So then what the Gemara was asking was, you know, not the assumption that these things are the same, but that you see mid, you know, tzivui habal, b'makom, you know, double impairment, you know, which requires shame, formal dibur, you know, nishma, then, well, why shouldn't that work also, you know, in edus? Right, that's the question. That's how Tosa understands it. So you see what Tosa is engaging here is this question of, you know, of distinct two things really. Were we ever thinking that Tzivui Habal is the same criterion as Eidus? And number two, you know, a kind of acknowledging that there's a difference between Harchana and Dibor Mitoch Haksav, and within Dibor Mitoch Haksav itself, that you can look at it in two ways. Are we saying ksiva kedibur? Or are we just saying, you know, that it's more than harchana barosh? You know what I mean? So all these tosas in, again, I'm not going to, but yesh mefarshin, the other answer, no, namasisim okasha, dika lemeber dahad, dhamma prat le'ilim, sheni yachal ahagin, is ilim shenu shomea, hainu cheresh, avul ilim lomashmach. Okay, fine. So that, you know, that's a different answer to the problem. Then if you look at the next tosas, Hayachel Dabr Mitoch Haksav, so it says Hagada Chashiva Ayidei Haksav Kidefrishis. So he asked the question from Chalitza. Right, we're just going to look at this today for a second. So meaning in Chalitza, you know, it doesn't seem to work. Right? Even though the person can be medaber mitoch haksav. So apparently medaber mitoch haksav is not considered amira. So Tosa says, right, vade lohave elabe, I'm sorry, amira vade lohave elabe peh. Where you need formal amira, you know, that is, you know, only actual, you know, articulation. Ksiva wouldn't be enough. Ksiva wouldn't be kedibur, where you need amira. But oh, the hasam yalef maybe unsav the ano halavim shetarich balashin hakodesh minanami shaminan the havet bepeh kimo belavim. That's kind of like upping it one more. Like if you need lashin hakodesh. So it's not, certainly it's not conveying, you know, rotzon or das. It's a formal dibur. You know, anything that requires lashon hakodesh requires elevated lashon, number one. Or, you know, it's you know, you need a kisvei hakodesh, like you're quoting from the parsha. So that is, you know, a different kind of dibor or amira. So when you know, in chalitza, you have to be able to say, you know, the parsha of chalitza, you know, beis chalutza nal. You have to say lo ava, you know, yavmi, you know, the whole bit. So it's like a ritual. It's like a rite. It's a formal, you know, quoting of the parsha. That's why you might need lashon hakodesh. So. The point that Tosis is struggling in all these cases is to say there's a difference between habas ritzono, some sort of minimal dibur, which at least, you know, kind of negates the problem of incompetence, of not being a bar das, right? Then there's, you know, formal dibur and amira, you know, and then there's, like, you know, quoting, you know, where you may even require, like, lashon hakodesh, but certainly you require, you know, deeper. There are different levels. So to the question of, you know, what about Sfiras Omer and what about Talmud Torah and what about, you know, all sorts of other, you know, applications, you know, when do you say Hirur Kedibur, when do you say Hirchin, when do you say Kosav? The answer is that it depends what you need in the different circumstances. We're not going to, you know, try to pursue it more than that. Similarly, the last Tosis, if you look at it, Ktani mias eduyos. Tosas amai ktani prat leilim sheniach lahoy parich. Right, miu lari mira hai pirchanami ava larav. But tiyufta the basar hachi hava lidide. Hachi perusho bishlomo ilav derav. You know, if not for Rav, who emphasizes again, you know, medaber mitochaksav, which sounds like not only does it work, but it works and it's considered to be some sort of a dibor, then afa bishul in an edus kashiva hagada mashemarchin berosho kida kamar hacha the boatkinos al edus mikal makom pater kro ilim shediyachal lahagid right dul inin korban shvua lo kashiva hagada el hagada ma'alia el rav the chashiv yachal adaber mitoch chatzav edus ma'alia kiven afila becherish mahani afa gav darchana lo mahani. In Kain Tsar Koloma Hardu Mamaid Kra Ilim, Shayakal Hagin, Afabishayakal Dabar, Mitokaksav, Drachman Omer Pim Vlom Pixavam, in Kain Eich Bokin Osal Eidus, Abinam Pim Vlom Pixavam. So basically, again, you know, here he's suggesting that, you know, you could have said that for Eidus, you know, it might be satisfactory to have, you know, Harchana Sarosh. But, you know, to violate Mipim, I'm sorry, to violate, you know, Shvua Sa'edus, you know, maybe you need Dibor Ma'alya. Like, there are levels within Edus, and only somebody who has the capacity for the, you know, the highest standard, only that individual, you know, is also subject to the Korban Shvua of Shvua Sa'edus. Again, very interesting distinction. But that's only because, you know, Rav Kahana Marav had that formulation of medaber mitoch haksav, implying that it was more than just ratzon, it's more than harkonas harosh. He's saying, oh, if it could also be machshir you know, it demonstrates somebody's competence because it's considered a dibur, so it's, you know, in a different league than Hachanas Arosh, you know, then maybe, you know, it works for Eidus, even if it doesn't work for Karban Shuasa Eidus. But then Kotsis goes back again, and Tosis says, Ulamayda Pirashnu, meaning in the first one that I read, that Prat Ilaim Shenyachal Hagin Hainu Cherish Asa Shapir, the Ilav Dirab, the Ilaim Sagi Baharchana Bakol Davar, of a Cherish, Lo Saga Filiachal Dabar Mitoka Ksav, by Lolinian Get, the Lolinian Eidus, of a Rab, Avagab the Pasolinian Eidus, Kosher Gabi Get, meaning Sibuya Baal. Okay, so basically, right. Meaning this Gemara ends up being like a very interesting discussion, not only about the relationship between Tzivui Habal and the requirements of Eidus, but also about like there being different levels of conveying, you know, your intentions, your will. Harchanas Arosh, right? You know, Ksiva Kedibor, and then the question of, you know, what you require in each situation, right, becomes like a very interesting issue. Okay, that's the Gemara here in Ayin Aleph. Mark, right? What about the Gemara in Yevamos? Let's just get it on the record for a minute, and then we'll discuss it on Sunday. What's the Gemara in Yevamos? That's the other Gemara that explicitly quotes Mipim Lom Piksav, correct? It's the same. Sorry, it's the same. It's the same application or not? Before you read it, just impression wise.
Are you talking about the takana of zman?
What? The context is the takana of zman. The Gemara is trying to explain. The Gemara Yevamos wonders why it is that there's a requirement of zman in get. Right, that's a sugya in the beginning of the second parak of Gittin. Right? Why were they metaking zman in a get? Well, hopefully we'll get discussed that at some point. Right? Shamichapa basa koso or other things. Correct? But you do require, there's a requirement of zman in a get, at least midraban. But when it comes to shtar kiddushin, it doesn't seem like there is such a requirement. So the Gemara wants to know, like, why is there no derabanan, you know, mandatory zman bikidushin? So the Gemara is trying to explain why not. Yeah, read this quickly so we'll get it on the record, and then we'll
just name
aleph.
Okay.
Lamed aleph from the base, right?
Yeah.
So we start
with name aleph, take the zman bikidushin.
Yeah.
Okay, so name aleph, take the zman bikidushin. I'll leave the man that rishim peyrei, the rusa leish la peyrei. So
yeah.
You know that. The man that rishim basa chosi, I'll leave the man.
What does that mean, shemichapa basa chosi?
Right, so that's the machlokas. We're talking to Rabbi Yochanan about zman and a get. So if you don't have zman, the person could be able to, you know,
whitewash, like protect the...
Protect his rusa by claim, protect his wife, who's also his relative, his
yeah.
niece.
Yeah, the tricky sign of situation. She betrayed him.
Right.
But she's also his niece.
Right.
Right. So
claim that she wasn't married at the time.
So he'll claim that she, you know, to an ordinance that she should he'll be tempted, you know, okay. So for that reason you need zman, but that doesn't apply to kiddushin. Why?
Unilateral, so we're not gonna make a big deal about having zman. So what about a shtar for an edit, right? Some people do the kinyan with kasef, some people do the shtar, and yet there is not. So awesome, ruba b'shtar acha, ruba b'kasef. Okay, so here most people do with kasef. That's more done. Ibai seima, we shouldn't build afshar. You can't write zman because there's no place to leave the...
It'll never be
effective.
There's
no place to leave the shtar kiddushin, it'll be effective. Lanche gabi dida... Makalim. So if she's really shamichape and we leave it by her, then she's going to be concerned for her own life and she'll erase it. So likewise, if we leave the shtar by him.
So now the Gemara came up with a brilliant idea. Let them to be the custodians of the shtar.
Right.
So the Gemara says,
so
go ahead.
Either shouldn't make a difference. Eid is a chire if they know when it happened. Nicely so, they just let them come and be made, and then we don't worry about the month. Eid is low, and if they don't remember, it's in the chazam michtava, the asum isat, man amr pian, the mipik sava. So if they don't remember their eidos, and we call upon them to testify, it's actually a problem.
And they testify because of what they saw, even though they don't actually remember it.
Right,
that's a problem of mipian velo mipik sava. And then the Gemara finally just finishes. Ihalki begerishin nami.
In the same problem should exist such that there should be no takanas man. So hasam the hatsalabi dakasi.
Okay, great. But so is this the same mipian velo mipik sava?
No, it's a different application. Seemingly,
right. Here we're not talking about the need to physically articulate the. And that's in the Gemara in Gittin, right? The point is that an Elaim cannot, be made, right? Because he can't. You need physical Eidos, right? Here, the problem isn't the absence of physical, or is it?
The source of the knowledge, seemingly. They only have the
here's
knowledge.
The source of his knowledge. Here the problem, it's almost like more Eid Mipied, and maybe not even that. Meaning he's not the source of the Eidos. Now there may be a common denominator in those things, we'll discuss it. But the Pashtus, if these weren't the two places where the Gemara quotes Mipiyam Velo Mipik Savam, you might have said that they're, I don't say kirachok mizrach mimara, it's not that bad, but they're very different. In one case, we're talking about the need for dibur as the medium for eidos, right, as opposed to writing it down and sending it in, or an elaim writing it out, etc. Right? In the other case, we're talking about the source of his knowledge. I mean, are you really listening? Are you really encountering the aid, right, or somebody who, the piece of paper is the anus, right? And maybe that's not good anus either, or maybe that's the point. If the piece of paper had been good anus, then quoting from it would be fine. That might be the common denominator. But the pashtus, they sound a little bit different, correct? Okay. But either way, the Gemara is applying the piyam v'lo mipik savam here to not, not basing your testimony on the shtar. Okay. And here's where all the Rishonim jumped in and asked what question. We're going to stop. I'm not going to read the Tosas here yet, but what's the question? What's the fundamental question here? Why? What's so terrible about quoting the shtar? Right? Because there's a couple, you say, who says it's good? The answers are other Gemaras. Sugya's in Bava Kama, Sugya's in Bava Basra, right? A Soref, Shtaros of Shal Chavero, right? So the Gemara says that if it was seen before it was burnt, then you could be made what was written in the shtar. Even though you're not the Eidim. We're not talking about the Eidim. Right? The Eidim, of course, could recreate the shtar if they remember. But others also could quote what they saw. I saw the shtar, and this is what it said. And they could thereby, substitute for the burnt shtar. That's what Gemara seems to say that. In Bava Kama, Tzadi Ches, famous Sugya story. And then there are Gemaras in the end of Get Pashut in Bava Basra, right about Mechikas HaShtar, similar Gemaras, where it seems like if the shtar was the source of knowledge and you are kind of recreating the shtar, right, that would be sufficient. So if that's the case, what's the problem? What's the problem here? The guy doesn't remember what's in the shtar. So let him come to court and say, this is what I saw in the shtar. Right? Correct?
Yeah.
So according to Rabbeinu Tam, none of this is really a problem. Well, I mean, it is a problem, but it's not a problem. Because anyway, the piyam v'lo mipik savam, is only in the case of an elaim. Except it's hard to read the Gemara that way, right? I have to see what Rabbeinu Tam does. But Yeah. So what happens? What do they suggest
so,
here?
As Tosfos say, Kasha the Reed, Bagos Lakama, Gamazar Shores, and Kodero, Parech, Idi Kazan, the other the Gneshara, Achrina. Right? Bamai, Amar Hal, and the Gimel Bixava. And we read, Achnami, Imayim Idim Shekach Ra'u Bishtar, Shafir Havi of the Erehim Ki Ilum Idim, Ra'inu Eidos, Shemiskabel the Bezdin. Idim Achasim Al Shar, Nasa Kimishinech reduce on the Bezdin.
Oh.
Right.
So in Achnami, if they quote from the Shtar, what they saw in the Shtar, based on the dinner of Reish Lakish, which we of course can analyze, so basically it's like going to, it's like they coming to court and they're being made about, you know, being you know, in some other courtroom and see and hearing the psak din. That's the equivalent of Reish Lakish, correct? So being made what it says, what you saw written in the shtar, you know, is proper aid. So that's not called aid mipi aid. That's not called mipik sabam. That's what Tosis is saying. Right? The problem is, that's not what they're doing. They're coming to court, and they're telling testimony as if they're edim al peh, but they're not edim al peh, because they don't remember. So the misrepresentation, or the presentation, ki'ilu they're edim al peh, which is inaccurate, that's called mipiem v'lo mipik sabam. Either way, that's an expanded, and nothing to do with the words, or with
the
dibur. It has to do with the, Bezin should be hearing directly from the Edom. So if the Edom are made on a shtar, then they're hearing from the Edom about the psak in another Bezin, Kielu, right? And if they're, you know, if that's not being, you know, acknowledged, then they're not really hearing from the source. So not hearing from the source seems to be the problem of Mipiyam below Mipiksav. Would that be also a problem in Kosei Vadam Migeres Visholeach Lebezdin? Hard to say. Maybe not. Right? Hard to say. Would it be a problem if you were Kosei the Eidos Bifnei Bezdin? Like, even if there's a problem of being Sholeach Igeres, like Rashi, let's say you were to go to Bezdin and in front of Bezdin write out the testimony. That's a discussion of the Ritva in Makos. Right? Ritva Makos thinks everybody would agree that's good. Tosis Rid thinks that's not. So we have to discuss all these issues. There's one more Gemara, we're not going to read it now. That's the, well, there are two more Gemaras, but one more Gemara mainly. That's parallel to this one. What does it basically say? So we'll pick up with it, and then we'll read all the Tosis and inside quickly. What's Tosis, what is the Gemara to this?
So if
Edom
write down,
hey, you can read it quickly. Okay, Tanarabana. Yeah, we'll discuss it. We'll just read it. Yeah, get it on the record.
Yeah, Tanarabana. Tanarabana. Pagul Adam Edu Zol Hashar. Meidah Afilo Achar Kamashan. Rav Huna Vuche Zochrei Mi'atzma. Rav Yochanan Amar Al Bishen Eino Zochrei Mi'atzma. Rav Yochanan Amar Al Bishen Eino Zochrei.
Let's say it jogs your memory.
Right.
Right. You know what's the status of that? But basically, the Gemara is suggesting that if you're an aid al peh, that you should write out the testimony anyway. Go ahead.
So one aid can remind another his friend, and that would not be considered. That would be considered like two separate aidim. It's not like one aidness. Okay.
And then the Gemara tells a story about Rav Ashi.
So it was not so comfortable with this.
He did a lot of, like, you know, memory. You know, exercises, and then he said, yeah, I remember the whole thing. Right? Okay. Anyways, that Gemara is talking about the same as Yevamos or not?
Well, the issue that's brought up here about
it sounds like the same as Yevamos, the same issue, because there again, Bali Tosis are asking, what's the problem? Mm-hmm. Let him just tell you what he saw in the Shtar. But it's not so clear factually, this is part of the thing to figure out. It's clear in Yevamos that we're dealing with a Shtar. Right? That's the whole point. You need Zman and Shtar Kiddushin. It's not clear in Tzuvos if we're dealing with a shtar or like a ksav zichron edus, I mean, the Edom themselves write out, you know, like, you know, they're writing their memoirs, so they're writing their, you know, they write, you know, themselves a note. Not necessarily what we call a shtar midas ha-mitzchayim. Does that matter for this question? Okay, so we're going to stop here. These are the three main gemaras. A little bit also of the Gemara Baal Basra, which we should talk about. Mekah, you know, Bifnei Shnayim, Ein Tzarech Lomar Hazaku, or Modah, that gemara. And how did the Baalei Tosas, we'll start with Rashi, Ksuvos and Tosas, and the Tosas in different places, etc. But we have to analyze Rabbeinu Tam, Rambam, the middle views, mostly the Ri and the Balamor, but also some of the other views. Okay, so that's what we're going to do the next, you know, couple of shiurim. And then we'll start, hopefully.